For those that are joining us on Facebook, which I'm sure will include many of our regulars, we want to welcome you. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, so we thank you for wisdom for those that chose to stay home. We pray right now that ears to hear and eyes to see what you want to release, Holy Ghost, today, because there's no distance in the spirit realm. So we thank you for the same release here. Will be released upon you. We prayed for supernatural miracles to be released. And if you're viewing and you missed out on that prayer, be it unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm piggybacking off. Pastor Mike and I kind of team. We all week share with one another where we feel the body needs to be and where we need to encourage. And a couple weeks ago, I talked about imagining this relationship with the Lord, and last week, Pastor Mike talked about now what? Where do we go with this? And I just want to bring some, very helpful clarity so you'll understand that in God's kingdom, there's two major areas of believers. There are converts and there are disciples. A disciple has to be a convert, but a convert doesn't have to be a disciple. And I believe it's clearly laid out in the scripture, so I just want to kind of lay that out. And we know that wherever it fits for you, God loves you. Doesn't matter if you're a convert or a disciple, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, you're a convert at least. And that means that we get to spend eternity together in heaven. Praise God. Here's the definition of a Christian convert. It's someone who has changed their belief into making Jesus Christ their Savior. When we come to a place where we make Jesus Christ our Savior, we believe, as the Scripture says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, we believe in our heart that God raised this Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, and we believe in Him, and all of us that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we get into the camp of God. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, 13 says that we are then baptized into the body of Christ. And how many bodies does Christ have?
One.
So whether we're part of it here or those that are listening or those that are worshiping in other churches throughout this area, if Jesus Christ is their Lord, they're part of this one body. Amen. And it says the Holy Ghost baptizes us at conversion into His body. We don't do it, He does it, and that's what makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17. But a disciple is another dimension after conversion, and this is the definition of a Christian disciple. It's a follower of Jesus seeking to be empowered by learning more about Jesus to help others. Everybody say others. You can be a convert and go to heaven and not have to be a blessing to others. But if you want to be a blessing to others, then you have to learn how to have your life be blessed so that they will want what you got. And the only way they're going to want what we got is we do what God says is ours. It does not make us more important, although in our natural thinking we think, well, if we're going to get people to the cross, that's more important. But what I'm talking about, in Jesus' heart, He doesn't love us more or less. We're not more favored. Once we make Him Lord, He says He forgives our sins as far as the east is from the west, and He focuses on them no more. So that's pretty exciting. Now, though, if we want people to want what we have to determine to become disciples. Now, in the Gospels, it tells us, John the Baptist said, I come to baptize you in water, which is to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We need a water baptism when the weather gets a little bit nicer, because I know some of you haven't been water baptized yet. But then there's this baptism of fire. It's called, as Luke says in Luke, and also in Matthew and Mark, it says that He, Jesus, then will baptize us in the Holy Ghost and fire. So there is an experience that comes when we ask now as believers, Jesus, we want You to baptize us in the Holy Spirit and fire. So I want you to say this after me, if you will. You don't, no forcing, and those that are listening. Jesus, thank you for baptizing me in the Holy Spirit and fire. Amen. Now, if you believe that, you don't have to work yourself up. You get it. Now, what we do with that is up to us. Now, let me just lay a little foundation. Again, to be a disciple, in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 31, it says, if we continue in this word, then we indeed are his disciples. And it says, then, 32, we will know the truth, and the truth will not only make us free, but can be used to free others. So this, by the power of the Holy Ghost, is the freeing agent to help other people get free. I put it like this. Your conversion gets you to heaven. Being a disciple gets heaven to earth. Just dropped in my heart. I'm thinking, what is the difference? Jesus taught his disciples to pray that his kingdom would come, his will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is pretty special. So when we make Jesus Christ our Lord, our home is heaven. But if we want heaven down here, then we have to become disciples. And that's why not just anybody wants to be a disciple, and it's not to make you less if you don't. I'm just saying normally people that hook up at Shield of Faith are continuously challenged that you're all, as believers, full-time what?
Ministers.
Why do you hear that? Because we believe those that continuously sit here are being empowered by the Holy Ghost to not just be content with being saved or converted, but they want to help set other people free.
Right.
Sometimes it's a life-threatening experience that we have, and all of a sudden, we no longer just want normal or nominal Christendom. We want the full dosage. Sometimes when people visit us, they don't understand it all, but they like what they experience. Because what they experience is the Holy Ghost getting off us onto others. So when they're welcomed or they're greeting you, we all get the Holy Ghost at salvation. But if you want the Holy Ghost to bubble out of you and to get onto others, then you need Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. You prayed that with me, so you got it. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, don't let tongues be a stumbling block. I believe everyone that prayed that prayer have the potential to pray in the Holy Spirit. But that's a teaching in itself, because most people don't, because they don't understand it. But it doesn't mean you don't have the capability. I sit with pastors, and pastors say, oh, pastor, I want this in filling with a prayer language. I says, have you asked Jesus to baptize? Yeah, well, you got it. Now let me talk you into how to operate in that. And once they understand their part in it, they almost 100% come to that place. But the point is, it's not to be used as a superiority thing. It's just something that empowers you to be a blessing to others. That is why I share this in this context. When we take the end of Matthew, now again, for those that are newer with us, and most of you are not newer, but let me just bring you how I believe the scriptures. The old covenant was laid out to show us why we need a Savior, because we can't live all those commandments. It's impossible to keep them. So we keep repenting. In the old covenant, they brought the sacrifice lamb and so forth. Jesus, through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is now showing us how he came and completed that we don't have to complete it, but we get it all when we receive him. And then I believe, is now activating what Jesus gave us. So, when the end of Matthew, the end of Mark, the end of Luke, it's always words from Jesus saying this, now, go and make disciples in all the nations, as Matthew 28 says. Now, our nation is the USA, is Saginaw, is your community, is your family.
That's right.
That's your nation that you're to go and disciple. Then, Mark says, when you go, signs are going to follow confirming I'm with you. Luke, though, straightens it out and says, before you that want to be disciples, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, don't go, but tarry, wait. Acts 1 says, wait until the promise that Jesus said. The Holy Ghost is with you, but if you want him in you, bubbling out, wait until you get that experience. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. Now we see the Holy Ghost not only coming on them as believers, but now getting off them. They looked like they were drunk. Winds and supernatural miracles are transforming, and that's what we get to live in. Amen. A ministry of signs and wonders that came by the empowering of the Holy Ghost, because where we go, the Holy Ghost goes with us, which means the same thing that happened to Jesus can happen to us. In fact, he said greater. And I believe why he said greater in John chapter 12 is because we are one person. He was one person at one place at one time. Remember, he was limited in a body like you and I. But when we all got empowered like he did, remember what we learned on the day of resurrection? The same Holy Ghost that was in Jesus that raised him from the dead abides in us. So we all now have the potential that Jesus had because we all get the same Holy Ghost. So can you understand this is where we're going in this discipleship? He did not. When you look at the rendering of the different versions of the end of Mark, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we use the word go and preach. Preach is a troubling thing because people think you got to be a preacher, which means you got to be behind a pulpit, or you got to go and get in someone's face and begin to quote scriptures. Well, if you look at the more modern translations of it, it says go share. Right. Now listen to me, church. When I say share as a disciple, that doesn't mean you go and show them how much scripture you know and you share every chapter and verse that you know. It means go and live a victorious life, and how you live it is what they're going to want, and then you get an opportunity to share why you're living like you are, because you're living victoriously. Because he came to give us life and life more abundantly. And the only reason some do and some don't is they haven't realized they have the same power. They haven't learned how to release it out of their lives because they've either been beaten down by religion that told them, you're not going to be that good. You're not going to know. I will tell you as you listen to the clergy, we got all the answers. I'm here to tell you Jesus gave you all the answers. We get in and we become disciples by doing the things that Jesus told us to do. And that's why he says we will reap what we sow. Now, Romans 12, which we've many memorized, says this, present our bodies as a living sacrifice, which means, church, look at me. I'm flesh and blood like you are. When it says present your body as a living sacrifice, that means the world is watching us. And that world starts with your family. Anybody ever heard the saying, I'd rather see a Christian than hear one? Do you know how much emphasis throughout the New Testament the Bible puts on being the best example for others you can be? Right. If you want to be a disciple, you got to be the best example. I'm not talking about bondage here. I'm talking about an excitement to be all that you can possibly be for Jesus, that people will want what you got. Now listen to me. People say, boy, I just want that boldness so I can get in people and just tell them where they're right and wrong. No, you need to realize you got the boldness because it came with the Holy Ghost. What you got to realize is tap into what you already have from Jesus, and that's a life of victory. And it's got nothing to do with your circumstances. It's got everything to do with what he empowered you with. Well, I just got to please God. I just got to do more for him. He's already pleased. When you made him Lord of your life, you are pleased. And there's nothing you can do. Now listen to me, because people want, oh boy, I can displease. God, you are covered by the blood. He sees you through Jesus. He sees you through the blood. We have the victory because of Jesus. Nothing else, nothing more. Amen? Amen. Now, Paul then goes on to say this in 1 Corinthians 11:1. You don't need to turn to it, but he's telling the believers, imitate me as I'm going to follow Jesus. Notice what he didn't tell them. You know, get enough scriptures down so you can really nail people with the living scriptures. No. He says, imitate me as I'm imitating the Father or Jesus or the Holy Ghost. In fact, I like what the New International Version says. And it says, follow my example as I'm following the example of Christ. I'm only talking to you guys that want to be disciples. You don't have to do this to be a convert. You just got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we seriously want to see our loved ones and those around us break through, we have got to get a heart for others. And that other starts why we've got to be the best example we can be. Let me give you a little story. Many of you know that I was raised in a Christian setting. My mom and dad loved the Lord. They showed us the way, but I need to bring clarity to that. My mom and dad didn't set me down and preach scriptures to us. I mean, they made sure we got to church every Sunday. That was a requirement. My dad would teach me the different versions of the Lord's Prayer when it changed. My mom would teach me how to be a gentleman, how I was going to treat my future wife. Do you know how they discipled me? It was their example. They lived the walk. There was not swearing, drinking, and all that stuff was not a part of my house, and they never put my aunts and uncles down that did those things. In fact, if anything, we prayed for those that got caught up in the addictive behaviors in those areas. And I thought, they never told me we're superior and your aunts and uncles are less. No, they loved their brothers and sisters, my aunts and uncles, but they walked their walk. They lived their life. My mom and dad loved each other. I watched them love each other as far as patting each other, hugging on one another. It taught us six kids. That's how we want a relationship when we get to that place. And because of that, all six of five and all of us are married to our original. We all married Christians. We all love the Lord. We're all loving God. But it wasn't because we were drilled scripture after scripture. We had pattern before us, a couple that loved Jesus and they lived the walk. And I'm telling you, your example speaks so much, they're not going to listen to what you're saying if you're not walking the walk. And the greatest thing when we have parents dedicate their children is to be the best example and to train up your children how they are to live by watching you, not giving them a list of do's and don'ts and beat you down or you're going to be punished, no more car, no more this, sit in the corner. No, love your husband, love your wife, and don't be critical and don't criticize others, and that will set seeds of greatness because that's what the Bible about empowering us to be disciples, to be a blessing to others. And if you haven't been that, don't beat yourself up. You can't relive yesterday. Do you know Paul says he ran the race before him? And the reason why he ran the race before him, because if he looked back, he wasn't happy. Because what he did before was not good. He even had Christians put to death. So you're in fine company. Peter was not to look back. He denied Christ three times. He always put his foot in his mouth. You're not to look back. I don't care what you've done. If you're interested in being a disciple, today's a brand new day. Amen. And today you're going to set into motion how you can be a better mom, dad, brother, sister, or just a good, solid Christian. That when people see you, they'll think, wow. I was thinking in my time of being a school teacher and coach, I didn't never preach to the kids. I never told them, oh, you're this or that, but they watched you. And when they had concerns and needs, they would come to you, teachers. They would say I was really weird. They'd say, oh, Mr. Townsend, he's out there. And that would come back to me like that. And I'm thinking, and the reason I'm out there is because I'm not involving myself in all their extracurricular activities. I didn't go hang out, didn't drink with them, didn't smoke with them, didn't laugh about doing drugs, didn't squirrel around. And because of that, you get categorized. I'm telling you, that's a badge of honor. It's okay to have such an example that people want to put you down. Why? Because they're not walking that. It's kind of like when you're young and you're doing something, you had no fun if not everybody else was doing it. Right. See, Jesus laid us out. If we're going to be disciples, then we have to be good examples. See, Paul said it this way also. He says, I am choosing not to do anything, even though it's not sin to me, if it's going to be a stumbling block to anybody else. Not everybody wants that walk. When I was trained up and did my master's in guidance and counseling, they didn't like my heartbeat. They said, don't you ever bring God in that counseling booth. You let them know. And I went through the Gestalt theory and the Rogerian theory, and I went through all the theories that said, if someone's having an issue, that's their issue. That's not yours. That's theirs. Never was it to instruct them to a source that would be stronger than them. And you've heard my testimony when I went through the last part of the class. You literally have to counsel live, and they have the two-way glass, so they're watching you and critiquing you. There was never a time that God did not come up in mind, and that wasn't a preaching the word. It was prayer or encouraging them. There's a source stronger than them, and miracles would transform in there. And I would come out, and some of the students that were watching this would say, oh, boy, the teacher's going to be all over you. God supernaturally kept that professor so they didn't get on my case. But the key was this. God and our walk is what can explode and cause people to want what we got. That's why I'm saying Christians should be the happiest, most in love people there are, and we should be the pattern so all our kids want to have a man of God and a woman of God, because wow, does mom and dad have fun, and they still enjoy each other. If you got your Bibles, I'm going to have you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, I'm going to read. This is Paul to the Corinthian Christians. He says this, beware, this is to believers, lest somehow your freedom becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. Stay with me. For if anyone sees you, everybody sees you means seeing you. If they see you, that Paul is trying to tell you, they're looking at you. Did you know that people look at you? If they see you who have this understanding, and then this case is eating food to an idol, which was coming out of the old covenant, that was a no-no. But it could be the same things that we know, the things we know that are not helpful to situations. If they see us doing that, it becomes a stumbling block to their walk. So we have a decision. Do we continue to do that, or do we continue to hide that from those around us, or do we make a decision? I want to be a disciple, Lord, and I'm going to choose not these things that are going to trip up and stumble and cause people to fall. And I'm surely not going to beat up or condemn people that are not choosing to walk that walk. It's not a jumping through the hoops. It's an excitement of living your life for Christ, and that glow in you gets out of you and people want it. Amen. Now, in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to jump over one, chapter 6, it says this, again, to the Christians. Verse 3 says this, we are looking to give no offense in anything that our ministry. Say our ministry means my ministry. You all got a ministry. Now, if I was to jump up there a few verses, it'd say we are all workers in a ministry. We are all ministers. Jump up a little further. You're new creatures in Christ Jesus, and you've all been given a ministry to get people to Jesus. Look at me. Getting people to Jesus does not mean you preach the word to them. It means you live the word to them. And when you live it, they want what you got, and then they'll go in and explore it and realize, huh, that's why. I remember one time I had a believer that we were pulling him out. He used to build cars. Rebuilds is what it is. There'd be people that have their cars totaled, and they would, junkyards would pick them up, and we'd rebuild them. There's a body shop the other side of Hemlock. And I remember going to meet this guy that was a builder of cars. And I remember walking in the surrounding, and just like I am, anybody that knows me knows I enjoy life, and I'm happy. Anyway, I left, and this believer said, "You wouldn't believe what they said when you left. They said, don't believe him. Don't trust him. Nobody's that happy." And he says, and then what I told him, "Do you know who that is?" And they said, "No, but nobody can be that happy. Don't believe him. Do you know that that's Coach Townsend in Hemlock?" "Oh, you're kidding me. Oh, see, we should be the happiest people. If we get criticized for anything, my gosh, they're a happy bunch of people." Nowhere in there did I go and say, "Look at me, I am so much more superior than, look at me, I don't do this and this and this." When you don't do this and this and this, people are watching, but you're not got plaques over your head. "I do not do this list or this list." No, you live for Jesus. You get excited to be an example for him, and people want what we got. Says in the book of Acts that the Jewish nation that does not receive Messiah as a whole are going to see a jealous element that's on us, something that we're doing that they want. Up to now, they ain't got nothing they want from us because we've been biting and bickering and comparing ourselves, and church Christians are fighting with these Christians. "Oh, they're not doing it the right way. They're not doing it the right way." How about just living the walk, and people want what we got, and we'll take them to our Savior. Almost everybody that I ever led to the Lord was not because I preached at him. I lived it, and they wanted it. You pray over your meals. You make it a way of life. I see people get saved in the latter part of their lives. When I say latter, let's say middle age and so forth. And all of a sudden they think, "Well, I don't want to be a hypocrite, so I don't want to pray over my meals when I'm out at the restaurant. I don't want to people." People need to see there's been a change in your life. You're not the same person anymore. You're not trying to put yourself on display. You're already on display. Amen. We had a family that got set free here. And then little by little began to go back into the world. And I remember my wife going to someone that cuts her hair, and they threw this at her. "This person has never been here. We've never preached at this person. But they says, how come this family doesn't go to your church anymore?" My wife said, "Well, how would you know?" "Because we're watching them. They're back in the bars." Now, we never go down, say we don't go in bars or we don't. Where? But people are watching. There is a difference on our lives. And if we're not careful, we can fall right back in the trap doing the same things the world's doing, and we lose our witness, because we are a witness of what Jesus did on the cross and empowered us to have is to make us powerful. But you and I have to do our part, becoming disciples. Amen. And we do that by learning the scriptures. Galatians 5 says this. This is to believers. I like the gospel or the epistles, because almost all through it, it's trying to tell us how to live the kingdom life here as it already is in heaven. In verse chapter 5, Galatians says, verse 1, "Stand in the freedom by which Christ made you free, and do not get entangled again into bondages." I'm telling you, more Christians get freed and then they go back into bondage. They become enslaved to addictive behaviors that are destructive and are not a good witness to others. And it's not that they're going to hell. No, they're going to make it to heaven. But we're praying that heaven will come on earth as it already is in heaven. If we really do care for others, then we want to be our best for others by being our best for God. And they'll see that on us. Someone says, "You're in bondage." And I've heard it so many times. "You're in bondage." You go out to a restaurant that's predominantly a bar, and if they serve you an orange juice in a drink glass, I won't drink it. You're in bondage. No, I'm in freedom. I do not want to set a bad example to somebody that's struggling in those areas. And I believe that's the heartbeat of God. is to sacrifice our own choices for the better choice of serving God and setting a good example for others not to get tripped up. Amen. And that's what makes life fun and exciting. And I think the more we realize that and we operate in that, more people are going to want what we got. Because what we got's the real McCoy. Making disciples is more about your walk than what you say. In all the years we've had a ministry, not that long ago, I had a pastor come and somebody ran out there and wanted to prophesy into their life. And they said, "Pastor, I said, wait a second, I got to go have a cigarette first." Now, listen, I'm not putting down cigarettes. But that immediately, that pastor did not want to be prophesied if that cigarette was more important. Now, I know addictions are strong, but I'm telling you, that's what happens. We're ministering out in our neighborhood, and you've heard the story. It was all known for worshiping Satan and butchering dogs in the Marion Springs area. And I remember pulling into one of the houses that my wife and I had prayed in the Holy Ghost over. Now, listen, and this guy is being macho, and he's showing us around. We weren't interested in his house. We already owned a house in our area. But this other minister was looking to buy a house, and this had 10 acres, woods, it was a beautiful setting. We get to talking, and he said, "Oh, yeah, this is, you could have a bar and all this." And we never once said anything about, "Yeah, we don't like drinking and all that." And he's carrying this bottle of beer. And then all of a sudden he says, "So what are you guys doing?" We said, "Well, we're lovers of God. This is a pastor and I'm an associate." He took that and immediately hid that in the back of the truck. I never saw that bottle again. I'm thinking, we never had anything. "We do not believe in drinking. We think you're less." Because, no, there is something out there that people know. My gosh, are you sold out? You don't have to be destructive. And it was just like, kaboom, your walk speaks volumes, whole lot more than what you say, and you don't even realize it. So I'm speaking to you and those that are listening. Do you want to stay a convert, or do you want to be a discipler? And a discipler wants to set others free. And there's nothing more exciting. I'm telling some of you that waited later in years, if you want your grown kids or grandkids to get excited about Jesus, let them see an excited grandpa and grandma that loves the Lord and makes him a part of everything they do and say. But if they see you cussing and swearing and carrying on like the world, they ain't going to want what you got. They already got that. It's called school. It's called clicks. It's called friends. And it's called failure. It is not going to get them to heaven. Jesus is. But they're not going to want what we got if we just keep it to ourselves as a convert. I want to be a disciple. But to do that, I got to implement what God says is ours and be the best I can be for others. Amen? Yes. The greatest teacher in your life and in my life will be your life's experiences. That's why the men in my men's group, when I look around, we got such a diverse group. We get about 12 or 14 coming now. Every one of these men are different. Some of them came recently to the Lord. Some have been serving the Lord for 30 or 35 years. Some came out of the drug cultures. Some people came out of being an alcoholic. Some people came out of being divorced two or three times. They all come with that. But we don't use that as a negative. The Bible says all things can work to good to those that love God, called according to your purpose. Those that have gone through broken relationships can be used once they're on fire for the Lord to help other people going through broken relationships. And if they've come out of the drug culture and they know how addictive that is and how hard that is, they can help me set people free, because just because I haven't been there, I need some that have, that they can relate. Wow, I knew him the other way. He's different now. Not because you're preaching at him, you're living it. You're walking in it. You have a smile on your face and a joy and a little bounce in your step. Not because you're trying to show off. You really are enjoying life. And I don't have any more power, and I don't have any more influence than you do, because we get the same Holy Ghost. I am not steps ahead of anybody in here, but I have chosen for me and my household, We are going to love the Lord, and we are going to live for the Lord, and we're going to set the best example we can for our nephews, our nieces, every one of your children. If they should come up on PKI and any unannounced thing, they are going to see the same PKI just like they see when we come in happy and in love and not hiding nonsense or saying junk, but they're looking at those that are walking the walk. That's us, disciples in the body of Christ. So I close this morning by challenging you all. You do not, as a discipler, have to preach to anybody. And let me just wrap it up with this. Your number one ministry as a disciple is to disciple your family. Say family. If you've got young kids, if you've got a wife or a husband in that home, that is your ministry number one. You be the best example, the happiest, the most servant-like to your family. And then you know what number two is? Number two is in your neighborhood. You look for opportunities to be a blessing to your neighbors. If you got senior relatives or neighbors, they may need help with certain things, but you don't go preach to them and shake the Bible in their face. You lovingly, is there something I can do to encourage and help you? You become the best neighbor possible. And you don't go by going, let's go partying, or let me show you how many swear words I can get by you, because they're not going to want that. And you know the third area of ministry? Because everybody thinks, oh, I had so many people come. Pastor Mike's been able to experience the last 11 years too. Oh, just give me an opportunity, Pastor. Now I want to be a minister. They all think it's about getting here. Do you know that this is not where we are to be disciples in a church building? We're to be when we leave the church building. And the third area is where we work and play. Wherever we work and play, we should be known by the fruit of a holy life and a God-fearing life and a disciplined life that just doesn't fall in. Well, I got mad and I just let him know. Then work on that, because God's given you the same self-control as I've got. You have to choose to want to be a blessing. And if you don't care, God still loves you, and you're still going to go to heaven, but I'm telling you, I need some disciples to help me disciple others. And it's not trying to get everybody behind the pulpit. I'm trying to get the pulpit out of the building so that they will see you and see the fruit on your lives and want what you got and want you to take them to their Lord, to your Lord and Savior, because they're seeing you live it. So, where do we begin our ministry of discipleship with our number one?
Family.
And if you don't have a husband or a wife, maybe you've got biological mom or a dad or brothers and sisters. They should see a difference. They should see a change. They shouldn't see the same person you used to be, because the Bible says you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, if you just stay a convert, you're not looking to learn the principles and to grow. But those that want to make a difference, I think for the most part, most people want to see their loved ones get to heaven, but they don't know how vital they are to them. There is nobody more important to your family than you. Nobody's going to reach your family better than you. Well, you don't know, I've been a jerk. I was of six kids I was at. My mom and dad never stopped loving me. They never stopped praying for me. They never stopped living the life in front of me, and I wanted what they had, but I always said, well, when I get older, I want to be like that. Well, thank God, I got older quick. And I'm saying, that's what we need, church. We do. Now what? It is to go make disciples. But you start by making them in your home. Make them in your neighborhood. Make them in the place you work. And then, if you still got extra time and you're not taking away from your family, then look for a place that you can set up and have a Bible study or whatever. But the main discipleship process happens to those in your relationships. Because you can't be hypocritical around those that know you best. They may call you that to begin with because you used to be like them, but as time goes on, they want what you got. Disappointment as a pastor is many times I'll see people come, get excited, give their heart to the Lord, and they'll be telling me how their friends think they're different and weird and all that. But I've watched some, little by little, go back into doing the same nonsense and junk that will not witness to their friends. Don't lose your witness. It's all about you and the Lord. Amen? And I challenge every listener, if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I am encouraging you to look at your family, look at your community, and look at your workplace and make a determination today. Say, Lord, today, with this empowering of the Holy Ghost, I am not going to be that same old guy. I am going to keep my tongue. I'm not going to speak gossip. I am not going to criticize others. I'm not going to put down other churches for sure. But I am not going to have a critical spirit because you have not given me that. And Lord, thank you for not giving up on me, that you know today I can still do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Let's stand to our feet. I know I've got 2 more hours, so all the ice is off your vehicles, but we'll hold off. Just, Father God, this congregation that made it out today, I know how much you love each and every one of them, and I do thank you that there are tools and seeds that have been planted in lives that are going to bring forth a mighty harvest of fruit. I'm believing with all my heart that today is a brand new day of discovering that I can do all things through Christ, and I am determining to be the best walker of Christ that my family, my community, and my place of work will ever see. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome one another. Greet one another. If you need special prayer, come. We'll pray with you.